I may have mentioned before that in my home, my wife is my CFO. She is the chief financial officer in our home. And so for Company Ottenbright, Nanaimo Division, she runs the money part. And there's a reason for that. Because out of the two of us, I'm the most likely to worry about money. She does not worry about money. And so I honestly, I have no idea how much we pay in hydro. I don't know how much our mortgage payments are. I don't even know how much we get paid. I don't know. She takes care of all that. Aren't I lucky? Isn't that nice? I'm just saying that for those of you who were here a few weeks ago and we talked about how, you know, there's bonuses to singleness. There are bonuses to marriage, too. In case you were wondering. Not only that, I have nothing to do with the finances here in the church, either. I get kind of brief updates, and I'm very thankful for Richard, who just gives me brief updates as to what's going on. But I don't know much about what's going on financially here in the church. And you might be now thinking, you really need to pick up your game, buddy. Okay, all right, fair enough, fair enough. But I don't worry about it. I don't know how much you give. I have no idea how much you give. I don't even know if you give. I couldn't write you a check from church funds if I wanted to. I have no power over that kind of thing. For those of you who might be wondering that I write all the checks. Nope. I don't. Other much more qualified people take care of that. And there's safety checks in place so that pastors keep their hands out of the cookie jar. You know what I mean? And it's a good thing. So I don't need to worry about money. But as we've already looked at, money's a very important subject in our lives. Money is something that you and I all have to grapple with because we all deal with money. And this is what we're going to learn this morning. So when it comes that we all have to choose between God or money, we all have to. The Bible leaves us no choice. When it comes to money, money can become an idol for many of us. And I read a book that called Gods of War by Kyle Eidelman. And he said something that I thought was really profound when it comes to idol worship. He said, idolatry, idol worship, isn't just one of many sins. Rather, it's the one great sin that all others come from. Idolatry isn't an issue. It is the issue. And because I'm the most likely to worry about money. It's funny, you know, when you struggle with something, you're far more apt to see the same struggle in other people. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? I need to make a case for this. When you're struggling with something, you are more sensitive to other people struggling with the same thing. And it works out this way when it comes to money, because I can see how other people struggle with the idol of money. Because I also struggle with it. I notice it in little bits of conversation that I have with other followers of Jesus. It could be as subtle as a little complaint about the gas prices. Or, you know, a little complaint about it being, oh, it's tax time. Gotta do my taxes. I hear Christians talk about doing things under the table. I hear about Christians talking, saying things like, oh, if only I could win the lottery. And I know that a lot of Christians struggle with anxiety about money and envy regarding money. It can also show up sometimes for followers of Jesus in a sense of entitlement. I worked with a Christian business owner some time ago, and he said he hated working with Christians, or he hated Christian customers, because Christian customers would come in, and they'd have a sense of entitlement, because they wanted the brother discount. Yeah, you know what this is, right? Well, I mean, come on, brother. We're both Christians. You need to, you know, cut that price down. Only suckers pay retail. Come on, man. And it's what happened time and time again. And then they would get mad when they didn't get, they had to pay regular price like everyone else. They'd get mad and they'd say, "You're so cheap. You're so greedy. What's the matter with you?" He said he just hated dealing with people like that. Sometimes our idol worship of money can come out even in the church that we attend. Because there are churches out there that will tell you, if you follow Jesus, you are going to be rich. If you do it right, if you have enough faith, you're going to get rich. And you're going to get a great spouse, and you're going to have a great job, and everything in your life is going to be great. The prosperity gospel is alive and, unfortunately, well. Other things, the idol of money can make us withhold our offerings and say, "I'll give God if I have anything left over at the end after I buy my Lego." Well, that's just me. Whatever your Lego is your thing. We can even worship the idol of money in regards to who we vote for politically. Because if at the very top of our priority list is which politician is going to put the most money in my back pocket, and we're saying that's the most important issue to me. Now, all that being said, I'm also very inspired by a lot of followers of Jesus that I know who are extremely generous. I mean extremely generous. I remember this one family one time. They used to always have us over for lunch, and all they could afford was hot dogs. And not even condiments. They just had hot dogs, buns, and a wiener. That's it. But that's what they could afford, and they gave it generously. They said, "Come on over for lunch. We're having hot dogs, Pastor." Okie dokie. And off we'd go. And these people who are followers of Jesus, who are generous, they don't seem to worry about their bank account or their investments or their RRSPs. They don't worry about their potential raises. And guess what? I find that generally they are happier. They're just happier people. I want to be more like that. Don't you? Because that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about freedom. Because in the end, you and I have to choose between God and money. Do you struggle? Do you struggle with money? I realize this can be a very sensitive and threatening subject for some of us, but it is a spiritual issue. It has a lot to do with our relationship with God. This may, for some of us, be the most important message you will hear all year. Because if you can be set free from the idol of money, you will experience a freedom that you have not felt yet. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus yet, I've got great hope for you. Because he wants to set you free from money as well, through a relationship with him. We're going to find these three things about the money monster. And I call it the money monster because this monster in our lives is always hungry, always wants more. And here's three things. Money can be worshipped, it can control us, and it will disappoint us. And then I'm going to talk in the end about how should we respond. So what do we need to know about the money monster? Well, I already said, first of all, money can be worshipped. It says this, Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, he says, "Don't be greedy." Nice, easy instruction, right? Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, an idol worshiper. A greedy person is an idol worshiper, worshiping the things of this world. It's funny, you know, when we think about worship, we often think of places of worship. Temples, mosques, cathedrals, shrines, whatever it may be. But there's no place you can go to worship money. That's why for a lot of us, we think it's not my problem. Many times we think of money as our ultimate. And we devote endless thought and time to it. Worse, sometimes in the church, we'll even pat people on the back for being greedy. We'll say things like, oh, you know, when someone's taking those another evening shift, or they're working harder, and they're working, and they're ignoring their spouse and their kids, we'll maybe even pat them on the back and say, you're being a responsible person. You're being a great dad. Good for you. Boy, if all of us could just follow your example, buddy. We actually sometimes applaud greed. Think about that. Think about how wrong that is. You're a real leader, we may say. You're being so responsible. You know, it's funny, I run into people all the time who say, I'm not religious. But we all worship something. It's like we are pre-programmed, it's in our DNA to worship something. Whether it's family or spouse or our job or money or one of a number of other things, we are programmed to worship something. I heard this great quote. I want to pass it on to you, to help you. Whatever you fear to lose the most is what you worship. Whatever you fear to lose the most is what you worship, is what I worship. What do you fear to lose the most? Is it your bank account? Your house? What is it? We all have to choose between God and money. So money can be an idol. We can worship it. Number two, money can control us. Jesus said in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he said these famous words that many of you have heard many times. He said, no one can serve two masters. Now, if you were in the listening audience and you heard Jesus say, no one can serve two masters, you might be thinking, wait, I know this one, Rabbi. I've heard this before. I know where you're going with this one. It's God and Satan, right? Those are the two masters. Those are our choices, God and Satan, right? Hey, I know where you're going, man. You keep preaching. Amen, hallelujah. You just keep going, buddy. No one could serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. And they're still going, yep, you got it. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. That's right. You cannot serve both God and money. What? Money? Money? Money is what's controlling us? Look at the words he's using. He said, the difference is you will be devoted to one. Devoted. This is control. Devoted. You will serve the one. There's something exterior to us that is controlling our behavior. And he said it's going to be God or it's going to be money. And we have to choose. I'll tell you now, this issue is not decided between 10 o'clock and 11:30 on Sunday morning. This is decided throughout the other hours of the week as to who or what is going to be our master. Number three. Oh, yes. We all must choose between God and money. Number three. Money will ultimately disappoint us. Now, in case you might think I'm a little out of touch with reality, I'll admit this. Money can buy some pretty cool stuff. I'm in a room full of doubters. Money can buy a lot of cool stuff, right? Let's face it. I remember when I got my first job working as a paperboy. I went from getting $1 a week in allowance to getting a whopping $3 a day delivering papers. And I went straight to the local convenience store to buy all the junk food I ever wanted, and there was nothing Mom and Dad could say about it. I hope your kids aren't listening. I mean, this was good times. I mean, sweet cavity carnival, here I come. So money can buy some pretty cool stuff, but is it ultimately satisfying? Some of you might recognize this face if you're a sports fan. Who is this? Tom Brady, New England Patriots quarterback. Did an interview with 60 Minutes one time. This was way back after only three Super Bowl rings. And he had this to say. Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it's all about. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me? I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be all it's cracked up to be. After three Super Bowl rings and all the money he could ever spend, he said, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. Money, even though it can buy some pretty cool things, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, John writes to the church, in his first letter to the church, all about this particular subject. All the things that this world offers to us. He says this, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. And money is the gateway to all that this world offers. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only... Okay, it's going to say three things. He's going to say three things the world offers. The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Now, I want to stop you right there. Take a good look at that list. If you memorize that list of all that this world offers, you will never unsee the people of this world chasing after those three things. It is an endless, endless race to get those three things. And then he ends with this. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Money represents everything that this world has to offer. Remember, it said money can buy physical pleasure, first of all, physical pleasure. Let's face it, money can buy travel, sex, food, legal weed, and illegal weed, yes, leisure, that nice chair in front of the fireplace, that boat to travel around the world. It can buy all of these physical pleasures. It can. It can. And when we worship money, we feel that it can bring us ultimate pleasure. Money is the gateway to the best pleasure-filled life. That's what we'll say when we're worshiping money. It will bring us ultimate pleasure. Money, it says according to what John wrote, will also buy security. It says a craving for everything we see. Why do we want more and more and more and more? If you talk to a really honest hoarder, after a lot of counseling, you will discover that many times people hoard things because of a sense of security it provides. They have all these things to keep them safe. And let's face it, money can make you safer. It can buy you a house in a better location, not at the bottom of some mudslide hill. It can buy you better health care. You can install a safe room in your house. You can ramp up your savings account for when the furnace conks out on you. You can buy better quality food. But we know money cannot buy you a secure marriage. It cannot secure your children following Jesus. It cannot keep you secure from disease. Or even theft. And we will worship money when we feel money can bring us ultimate security. The more money we have, the safer we are. If that's our belief, then we are worshiping money. Money can buy worth. Pride in our achievements and possessions, John wrote to the church. Pride in our achievements and possessions. In other words, money can buy us a sense of self-worth, as shallow as it may be. We may feel successful, on top, superior. This is the ability to gloat. For all those who always said, you'll never amount to anything, you can prove them wrong with money in the bank. You can make mom and dad proud. And some of us in this room are still trying to make mom and dad proud. Or worthy of love. Or being the bright star in the family. And ultimately, all of these things, even though money can buy all of these things, it's ultimately disappointing. Why? Because of the five little words that John wrote to the church. This world is fading away. This world is fading away. Everything is temporary. All that money can buy is temporary. Your house is falling apart. Some more than others. Your car is rusting. Your clothes are going out of style. Your bodies are sagging. I'm just telling you what I know. All of this, when we invest our affections on money, is short-term thinking. Because John wrote, but everyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Take a good look at that for a second, because you might have just misinterpreted that. Some of you might have just read that and thought, but everyone who does what pleases God will continue to exist forever. That's only part of what it's saying. Because being in the kingdom of God is not just about existing. Jesus didn't come to give us existence and give us existence to the full. He came to give us life. And it says, but everyone who does what pleases God will actually live forever. In the greatest possible capacities, those who are followers of Jesus will actually live. To put it into perspective, for those of you who have put your trust in Jesus, let's talk about those three things that this world offers: pleasure, security, and worth. I'm going to speak from the heart on this one. Because there is no way, when it comes to pleasure, I could ever describe to you what it's going to be like in the presence of the King of Kings. Your knees will buckle at the very sight of him. You will be in the presence of greater love than you have ever known. An acceptance that just reaches right into your core and tells you, this is why I'm alive. When it talks about pleasure, there is no greater pleasure than being with God for eternity. It is a pleasure that will never become exhausted. Never. The more we will know him, the more in love we're going to be with him. That's life. That's pleasure. Talk about security. The world offers security through money. There is no greater security than being part of the kingdom of God. Ultimately, we are going to be in a kingdom where there is no sickness. You can't buy that with money. There is no evil in the kingdom. No death, no enemies, no disasters, no disease, no bad government. Yeah, no money. So if you want a secure life, worship God. In him is the greatest security. Stuff that money can't even dream of buying you. And finally, so we talked about pleasure, security, and what about worth? This one gets me. Because many in my church family, let's be honest, and myself too, we doubt our worth. We do. And we hustle every day to prove to other people that we're valuable. We have little conversations about all the good little moral choices we're making to convince people that we have value, that we're worth something. But our worth shouldn't come from those things. Our worth certainly can't come from our bank account. If you want to know how much you're worth, when you see Jesus and he's got scars in his hands for you, that's your worth. That's what you are worth to him. When you see your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is how much you are worth. At the great banquet, that great feast, it says, that we're going to have in the kingdom of God, when all God's people gather together, and there is a place reserved for you. Only you. No one else. It's just for you. That's how much you're worth to our King. The very fact that he calls you and I, those of us who follow Jesus, he calls you and I sons and daughters. He could call us slaves, servants. He calls us sons, daughters, friends. That's how much you're worth. And idol worship, the worship of money, will rob us of the hope of all those things. Because we'll put our trust in an idol that cannot deliver ultimate pleasure, ultimate security, and ultimate worth. It's just a shadow. And that's why this is an issue that has to be grappled with for all of us. We have to choose between God and money. Who is going to be our master? Who is going to rule over us? Who are we going to be devoted to? Who are we going to serve? But what can we do? I have three things that we can do. I sure hope every single one of us, including me, puts these into motion because there's freedom available. What can we do? First of all, pay attention. This doesn't sound very profound yet, but let me dig in. Pay attention. Jesus said this, beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Now, why would Jesus say that? If it was obvious that we were worshiping money, he wouldn't have to say that. We would just know. But he says, beware. There's a danger here for you, for me, for every single person in this room. There is a danger that we are greedy and we don't even know it. That we are worshiping money and we're not aware of it. We have maybe told ourselves as followers of Jesus for the last year, the last decade, the last five decades, this is not an issue for me. Jesus says, beware. Be on guard. This can sneak up on anyone. And what I mean by pay attention is pay attention to your emotions. Pay attention to how you feel when an unexpected bill comes up. Pay attention to when there's an extra offering to give to charities. Pay attention when things, what you're feeling when something is stolen from you or you didn't get that sum that you expected. Pay attention in the office pool where they're buying lottery tickets. Pay attention to how much time you spend thinking about how to increase revenues. Pay attention to how you feel when the pastor announces you're going to have a sermon series on money. Why pay attention? Because you cannot turn away from something you don't even know you're facing. You cannot turn away from something you don't even know you're facing. And many of us are facing the idol of money, and we have fooled ourselves into thinking we're not. That's an extremely dangerous position to be in, and it could be robbing you of the incredible joy of knowing God in all his fullness. And I don't want that for any of you. I don't want that for me. So pay attention, number one. Number two, give ridiculously. I chose that word on purpose, ridiculously. I've been reading in the book of Acts, and for those of you who aren't familiar with the Bible, the book of Acts is the story about the early church and when it first began. Jesus had already gone back to heaven. The church was just starting off, and it says the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, came upon the church in power. And there's a miracle that happened in the church that a lot of people don't talk about. They might talk about the tongues of fire, and they went out and preached, but there was another miracle that happened in the early church. Their attitude about money got completely flipped over. It was the most bizarre thing. Do you know in the early church, it says no one had any needs in the church. The rich took care of the poor. They actually would sell possessions, property, and give the money away. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on someone. It frees them to be generous. Isn't that cool? Give ridiculously. Give ridiculously. I challenge you today to find something to sell in your house. It could be as simple as a, I don't know, blender. I don't care. Find something, and don't go buy a better one. That's what I'd be tempted to do that. Sure, Pastor, I'll do that. Give ridiculously. Find something to sell that you're going to miss. And give the money to the poor. Give the money to the church. Give the money to something, someone else. Get in the habit of living a simpler life rather than a more complex life. And that brings us to number three, where it all comes together. Are you listening? Are you still with me, church? Number three is depend humbly. Because what I just told you, pay attention and give ridiculously, you can't do that. I can't do that. It's impossible. Our natural inclination is to worship money, is to love money. And so when it comes to depending humbly, we have to come before our God and say, I can't do this. I am not nearly smart enough to know whether I worship money or not. Do you know that? We're not smart enough to see it. We are blind without the help of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, with his help, the Holy Spirit is so powerful. The Holy Spirit can open up our eyes to see what's really going on in our heart, to really show us the idolatry that's going on there. And then the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to give ridiculously. It's a beautiful thing to be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you right now, whether you know Jesus or not, you're thinking, is this it? Is this all there is? Even if you've been a Christian for decades, you're thinking, man, is this what it means to be a Christian? I want you to just consider that it might be money that's been your master and not Jesus. And money has been robbing you of all the things God has been wanting to give you all along. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you can come to know Jesus. I've got great news. You can come to know. He's inviting you right now. And all you have to do is turn from your sin and say, my life is yours. I admit I have sinned. I have done wrong. I have worshipped money and many other things. And now I want you to be my master. There is a freedom there, my friends. An incredible incredible freedom from this crazy idol of money that promises everything and delivers nothing. Where is your trust this morning? What's your decision going to be between God and money? All of us have to decide. Someone has to be on top. Someone is going to win our devotion and win our service. Which one is it going to be? I'm telling you, friends, we need God. We need the Holy Spirit in such an amazing and powerful way in this church, because I don't know about you, I cannot live a moment for Christ without the Holy Spirit's power in my life, and neither can you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His help. Otherwise, we're just going to keep following money, whatever idol comes up. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for any of you. We need God. Who desperately needs you. Who needs the security that you can bring. The worth that only you can provide. Lord, forgive us for all the times we have chased after money as though it would provide the ultimate in our lives. Or many of us in this room have worshipped money for far too long. And it's time that we lay it down in front of the cross and praise your name, because you died so that we could have life. Full life. Life that is free from the love of money. Oh Lord, set Nanaimo Alliance Church free from the love of money in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, set us free. That this week would be a new week in this church. That we would be the most generous of people. That we would not worry about money anymore. We would not count on money to provide for us what only you can provide for us. Instead, we will count on you. We will cry, I need you, Lord, I need you, through every moment of every day. God, that we would stop relying on our bank account. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for us and for setting us free. Thank you for that amazing gift that you give us of freedom and life. Lord, for all those in this room who do not know you yet, speak to them right now. Speak to them. Give them the courage to hand their life over to you, to make that decision to start a new day in their lives. Lord, that they would be changed from the inside out, as only you can do. Lord, I don't want anyone in this room leaving here saying what Tom Brady said, isn't there more? There's got to be more than this. Lord, may that more be you and you alone. You are our master. You are our king. We look to you, our Savior and Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. There's going to be people up here to pray with you. Please come and be prayed for. If you need healing, come up here. If you want to be set free, come on up here. That's what these people up here do. This is what they love to do. The rest of you are free to go. God bless you.